Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Privilege and real pleasure today to introduce our guests this morning. One of them you'll know really well. His name is David Curry. He's well known here in Found Church. He's a great member of Found Church. He's also the health and safety officer in Found Church. We will not say too much about that. But David does an amazing work here in Found Church, but he also does an amazing work with the charity that he heads up, Connect 2. And so I'm not going to say too much, apart from saying, David, Tommy, Jay, you're most welcome here, and we look forward to hearing from each of you this morning. And so why don't you give them a real Found Church welcome as David comes to share with us this morning.
Good morning, church. Thank you for the opportunity this morning for to come and share a little bit about the work of Connect 2. Some of you will know about the history of Connect 2. Some of you will not know about the history of Connect 2. Let me just share a little bit with you. Back in 1958, a young Pentecostal pastor from a small town in Pennsylvania named David Wilkinson picked up a copy of Life magazine and saw a news article about seven teenagers, gang members from New York City who were on trial for murder. As he looked at their faces in the magazine, his heart broke. Why? The Holy Spirit touched that pastor that day. And the Holy Spirit says to him, go and help these guys. With nothing more than prompting, he drove to New York City, totally out of his comfort zone, not his background, and he tried to enter the courtroom to speak to the gang members. He was thrown out of the court. But he kept on going back. That obedience in 1958, that obedience led to the birth of Teen Challenge, a ministry which is now worldwide, working with men and women who are in addiction. But through that addiction, we believe the power of God can bring breakthrough in people's lives. Through Jesus Christ, we believe there is a better way. Connect 2 stands in that same tradition. Today, we set up a charity in 2019 here locally. We're part of the Teen Challenge family, bringing faith, hope, and recovery in Forth Valley. Just like those young men David Wilkinson saw in the magazine, we see broken, hurting men and women on our streets today. Men and women caught up in addiction, shame, hopelessness. Yet, we need to remember as Christians, they are deeply loved by God. Sadly, in Scotland last year, there was over 1,000 people died from addictions, from drug overdose. 1,000 people in alcohol. The average age 35 to 49. The sad reality, there's men and women dying every day. The very people that Jesus calls us, the church, to reach, and we believe that that's the ministry that we've been called to do. Connect 2 work through street outreach, recovery groups, supported advocacy, and school programs. We walk with people through every step of the way, in crises, in the community, from brokenness to belonging. Last year alone, we had 1,700 repeat visits to our evening outreach work. Sadly, the figures for 2025 look as if it's going to be well beyond that. And that tells you the size of the problem. It's still out there. We, the church, need to remember behind every statistic is someone's son, someone's daughter, a father, a mother, a life that matters deeply to God. They need to know there is a better way. It isn't Connect 2 is the better way. It isn't Teen Challenge. It's God who's the better way. Psalm 40 verse 1 to 3 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see the fears of the Lord and put their trust in him. We are privileged to see that as a charity. Even last night after we had our celebration evening, people put their trust in the Lord. This verse captures what it's all about. God lifting us up out of the mud and setting our feet on a rock. Life doesn't need to be like this. For each one of us this morning, I just want to say, for you, no matter whether you're in addiction or not, we have the same problem. It's called a sin problem. There is a better way out, and that's God's way. This morning, what better way to tell you about how God can transform lives, as we have Tommy Rogers, who's going to come now and share his story of what God's done in his life. So please give Tommy a round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I suppose my story, when I think of my story, when I think back, I always think of denial. Because for 33 years, I lived my life in denial of many things, but mainly about my childhood. Growing up for me was quite tough. I had two alcoholic parents and I was one of six siblings. So our household from a young age was chaotic. It'd be a normal day for me to see my dad hit my mother. That was just the culture in my household. My dad would get drunk. My mother would give us, don't get me wrong, she would give as good as she got. But still, it was quite an alarming thing for me to see growing up. But one of my older brothers, Graham, was a drug dealer. And it was that bad where the police would kick our family door home in on a regular basis, to the point where, as a wee five-year-old fella holding on to my mum's housecoat in tears, because my mother was in tears, and you've got the police saying, police, nobody move. It was upsetting for me, because to me, police were these bad people who upset my mother and locked my brother up for things I didn't understand. But not only that, I get that regular where the police women would come in and say, right, Helen, get Tommy and Joe, me and my younger brother, get them ready and get them out to school before we turn the house upside down. My big brother would get wise to that and he would stuff my wee school bag and my brother's school bag, Sonic Hedgehog school bag full of drugs. And then I'd be going to school with my wee school bag full of drugs with my brother warning me, you better meet me down at the school field at lunchtime the day. So I'm going to school full of fear. When my pals are out playing with their skipping ropes and kicking a ball about, I was down the back of the school field to meet my brother to give him his drugs back. So that was the kind of warped environment I grew up in. Now, you can imagine how that developed in my mind. I was very warped at school. I was a nightmare. I was very quickly put into a secure school. After numerous attempts from social work back then weren't really what they are now. But I ended up spending some time in a Kell Law school, and then I got moved to Kibble. And Kibble, for me, was actually quite a good experience. Kibble school, it was like police for janitors, and it was, but we did welding and stuff like that. And as a young man, I felt like I was treated like a young man. And that benefited me, and I get put back into mainstream school. And the inevitable happened, I get flung out of school. But that led me to a life full of addiction. I was experimenting with drugs because as a young boy, your home, for me anyway, this is my perspective, your home's your secured unit, your home's your hub. It's the one and only place you can feel security, secureness. I never had that. Because when you've got police kicking in your door, and you don't understand who these men are, you think, well, I don't feel safe here. Because at any minute, that was my experience. So I was chasing security and drugs. When I started taking these Valium tablets and smoking heroin and stuff like that, I felt secure. It was a temporary secureness, but I liked it. I felt safe. And that was my experience with drugs. So that developed very quickly into a heroin habit. I was smoking heroin very quickly. And to keep up with that habit, it's very expensive. The amount I was smoking. My brothers were injecting, but I had a fear of needles. Thankfully, well, thank God for that, because I, under no doubt, would have been dead. Because unfortunately, my older brother died of a heroin overdose through injecting heroin. And when Graham died, that shook the full family up, because my dad, you know how sometimes the dads of the family is a strong character and will speak into situations within a family if there's fights or whatever or something's going on, the dad would speak into it. Well, my dad was an alcoholic mess who urinated his chair and hit my mother. So he wasn't that guy, but Graham was. Graham was a guy who would speak into situations. So when he died, the family died. The family was chaos. My younger brother was in and out of prisons. I was left to my own devices. Because although Graham was a drug dealer and all the rest, it kind of kept us somewhat in control. You know, he would be the one that would say, right, that's enough. Don't be doing that or don't be doing this. So when he died, it was chaos. And very quickly, about 3 months later, the one thing that split my mum and dad up, believe it or not, was my brother dying. But my mother, when they split, and due to her heart being broken through Graham dying, she very quickly, you know, fell into alcoholism very bad, and the alcohol killed my mother within 6 months after my brother died. So when my mother died, that was it, you know. But when my dad died about 3 years later. When my dad died, I very quickly kind of started questioning things a wee bit. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I had made a decision to end my life. Thankfully, an old man now, Maurice Craig, stepped into my life. He was persistent, chatting my wee flat door, coming in, reading scriptures to me and stuff like that. And to me, he was annoying the life at me, if I'm being honest, inviting me to church. And I'm thinking, that's the last place I want to go. He's built like a... built at the side of a £5 note. And church was the last thing I wanted. But he invited me to church one night, and I went. And that way back from church that night, we pulled in at a wee quarry, and I gave my life to the Lord. And for the first time in a long time, I felt security, and I wasn't out my face in drugs. That night, I went back to my same flat. I was taking the same drugs, sitting with the same folk. But the best way I can explain it is nothing changed, but absolutely everything changed at the same time. Because my pals were still talking the same old nonsense, but it wasn't sitting right with me. It was very subtle at first. I started isolating myself. I couldn't sit with folk who were talking mince about people who were wanting to do this and wanting to do that. Still taking the drugs, but very quickly Maurice made a way for me to go to a teen challenge rehab centre, one that Jay and his wife started actually, Whitchester House. And there I learned, I was discipled. I learned how to walk with God. I gave my life to God. I invited him in. I was very aware of what I did, and I genuinely felt the presence of God. I felt that security, but I didn't know how to walk. I needed discipled, and that's what happened at Whitchester House. I was discipled. I ended up working at Whitchester House, and since then I've been blessed. I've been a support worker, I've been an advisor, and I'm now working alongside David Curry, which, let me tell you, it's not a bed of roses. You think yous have got it bad with him being health and safety? How do you think I feel? I'd hear when I started to connect to. Now I've got nothing. But there we go. I'm blessed, I'm married, and I've got a baby on the way. The due date's Christmas Day. Can you believe that? My favourite time of year. So I'm blessed, and it's all because of God. It's all because of one night outside a wee quarry, I gave my life to God. Thanks for listening.
What an amazing story that was, isn't it? It's the part of where, in such a short period of time, he's shared so much. Thank you, Tommy. Before Connect 2 started as a charity, Stephen Melvin and myself went down to Nottingham to meet with Jay. At that time, Jay was the executive director of Teen Challenge UK. We shared our vision, what we felt God was saying to us. We shared it with Jay and Phil, and we asked if we could badger charity Connect to TC Forth Valley, Teen Challenge Forth Valley. So we're a sister charity to Teen Challenge, and we want to thank Jay for giving us the go-ahead at that time. He encouraged us, supported us, and that was the foundations in which we've come from. Jay has ministered extensively, both in the UK and internationally, for over 25 years, serving in multiple roles, Teen Challenge particularly, but of recent years, Jay has been a pastor, pastoring in churches, but now he's got a worldwide evangelism role. I want us to put our hands together to invite Jay up here to bring God's word to us today, and thank you very much.
Praise God. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. Sense God's presence. And just be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity opening the church. Somebody you don't know, but obviously know David, so that's good enough. You can blame him. Thank you, Dave, Connect 2, and the leadership for just inviting me up to preach. It's always a joy to preach God's word. Because it's not the word of a man or a denomination. It's not for looking for sermons. It's the very voice of God. It's the very voice of God. You want people, everybody's looking to hear God's voice. And I think, just read your Bible. He'll talk to you. Amen. The Bible is the word of God. You know, every church I pastored, within a week, they were saying, Pastor, what's the vision? What's the vision? And I said, listen, obviously without a vision, people perish. But let me tell you this. There's enough in the book to be getting on with that he's already said. Let's see what we're not doing and do that, and maybe God will continue to speak to us. It's just the instruction book, but I think it's just got overcomplicated. And he wants to speak to us. He's a speaking God. He's a God who speaks, and he can speak every day to those who want to hear his voice. But today the title of my sermon is Advancing Through Adversity. Anybody who's lived life, you know that we come through stuff. I remember I was at a conference once about 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. And a guy stood up and said, if you give your life to Jesus, your life will be a bed of roses. And I wanted to shout back, have you ever run through a bed of roses? And, you know, advancing through adversity. And adversity means moving through opposition, hardship, and hostility. There's nothing the Church of Jesus and the people of God cannot get through. There is not an enemy or a force or a demonic force or a devil or a demon or man can break the power of God's word. The victory has already been won, but there is fights, there is opposition, there is hardships. We're living in the last days, and people say to me all the time, I can't believe what's happening, can you? The place is a mess. I said, listen, it might look like a mess, but actually it's coming into an alignment with what he has said. It's an alignment of the last days where the love of many will grow cold, where people will be disobedient to their parents. It's not chaos. It's an alignment. He said these things would happen. He said these last days there would be perilous times. And I just want to read a scripture to you from Isaiah 43 in verse 1 and 2. And it says this, but now this says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I love the frankness of this statement. I love that God holds nothing about waters and trials, tribulation and fires and waters. I'm talking about many troubles, many opposition, things you need to go through, advancing through adversity. You see, victory is not the absence of pain and suffering. It's in spite of it. That's what gives us a testimony. That's why we have a faith that overcomes. It's not about avoiding things. You can't avoid things. You're going to need to go through stuff. And it speaks of human struggle and suffering. And this is a message of hope. The presence of God is with us in affliction. When you go through, I will be with you. When you go through the fires, I will be with you. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. Listen to Acts 14:22. Strengthen the disciples. Encourage them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Psalm 134:19. The righteous person may have many troubles, but God delivers him from them all. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome. I will be with you. It's the assurance, absolute assurance of a divine presence.
You don't get saved and then God says, well, I hope you make it. Just get on with it. I hope you've got enough faith. No. He says, no, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to come through with you. I'm going to be right there with you. You see, we have a God. You want to know how much God loves you? You want to know how God can identify with pain and suffering? He became one of us. He became a human being and got battered and got rejected and suffered. That's why it says you have a high priest who understands your emotions, your pain, and your suffering. And he says, no, I'm a down-to-earth God. My feet were on the ground. I understand rejection. I understand betrayal. I understand pain. I understand loneliness. I will be with you. I'm going to give you my spirit. And he's going to not only be with you, I'm going to come and live in the inside of you. You are now God's address. I know we keep saying, and I understand it, God, Holy Spirit, come, but I want to tell you, he's never left. You have the power of God within you through the power of the Spirit. And the Spirit's not an influence for everybody to fall down at the front and have a great meeting. The Holy Spirit is here to bring the power of God so we can preach the gospel with power, so we can see the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God moving. Yes, we have encounters, but it's about moving in the power. You see, you can't make anything happen. So much is done in the realm of the soul. It's soulish and it will run dry. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's the Spirit. It's a lasting work. When you go through, I'm going to be with you. In your marriage, when the kids are kicking off, when the marriage is under pressure, when the money runs dry, I will be with you. I will carry you through. I thank God for that. Because on your own, you're not able. I will be with you. I will comfort you. I'll be having fellowship with you. You know, it says in Deuteronomy 6:22-23, it says this, before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders in great and terrible on Egypt and Pharaoh and the whole household. In other words, God displayed his power to a nation and delivered 1.5 million people through one man and a rod and a message from God, let my people go. And there's not a devil in hell, not a nation, not a power could stop them being delivered. He took out 1.5 million people. And this is what he says in Deuteronomy. But he brought them out to bring them in. I think there's a lot of people being brought out. Out of addiction, out of sin, out of bad. But they live in this halfway house. They're saved and miserable. They don't come into this abundance, this power, and this life, and this presence. But he brought you out to bring you in. To bring you into a place of abundance. A place where there's an overcoming life. I mean, it's such a reality, but so many lose their joy. So many lose so much. So many don't go through. Listen to Paul the Apostle's testimony in 2 Corinthians 11. You talk about a life. Listen to this. This is Paul the Apostle. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. You know, you just wonder if the traveling mercy prayer ever worked for this guy. Imagine Paul. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Imagine Paul up here this morning. Well, I'm going on my 4th one. Who would like to come? Got a sore throat. But do you know what would have been? People would have been saying, Paul, you must have not had enough faith. The devil's in a rowing boat going, Paul, are you sure God's with you? Why is God allowing this, Paul? 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and night in the sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in dangers from rivers. I've been in dangers from men. I'm in dangers from my fellow Jews. I'm in dangers from Gentiles.
I'm in dangers in the city. I'm in dangers in the country. I'm dangers in the sea. I've got dangers from false believers. I've labored and I've toiled and I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've often gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. How's that for ministry? I will be with you. I will be with you. One time Paul could say, everybody deserted me. But the Lord stood with me. He was true to his promise. I felt his presence. I felt his power. I felt his provision. Besides everything else, I pressed daily the pressures of church. To Timothy, listen to his testimony. At my first defence, no one came to support me or a place. The arm of flesh has failed this man. But everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them or a heart. But the Lord stood by my side. He gave me strength. So that through me the message might be proclaimed to all the Gentiles. Verse 18. The Lord rescued me from every evil attack and brought me safely to a heavenly kingdom. I'll be with you. You see, victory is more than the absence of trouble. It's in spite of it. There's a few things adversity will do. Adversity will test your faith to see what kind of faith you've got. You see, faith is trusting God, and that's not easy. When a loved one dies, you've been married to for 40 years, and you go over to touch the hand, and the hand is not there anymore. When the enemy comes in like a flood, try to wreck your life, your marriage, your kids, your ministry. You cannot fight the devil and demonic forces with secular principles and steps. You need the power of God in your life. We have brought secular principles and business principles, but there may be a place for them. But you don't fight devils with business principles. You need the power of God. You need the presence of God. You need the power of God. I'm not fighting flesh and blood. This is a war you're in. And it's no joke. And the devil's no joke. And if you think you're strong enough, he's took people out. It's demonic. There's an enemy. And he killed, steal, and destroy. And he tried to move Paul. He tried to move Jesus. And trials will test your faith to see where it's at. You see, God's not interested in what we're doing. He's interested in what you're becoming. It's the whole point of not becoming like him. What's the point if I'm a good preacher and I'm anointed and I'm gifted and I go home and I'm impatient and I'm angry and I'm raging? What's the point of this life? I want to be like him. So he tests the faith. He'll take it to the boat. Does the boat ever sink? Yes, it does. But you don't. You make it to the other side. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job says, I've lost my house. I've lost my children. I got stripped of everything, but I want to tell you, I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. I will be with you. You see, this is life. Candied-coated Christianity. Bless me, fill me, touch me. No. When you go through, I'll be with you. Faith keeps you going. And everything else runs dry. That's all we've got. I know my Redeemer lives. What a statement. And that never came from some pillow prophet. It came from a man who lost children in a day. Lost his business, lost his finance. You talk about being tried. It's a real story with a real man. And at the end he says, I know. My Redeemer lives. And I know one day that I will rise again. What he was saying is, after the suffering, after the pain, after the tears, there's something else. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that anyway. Your adversity will wean you off this world. And dependent on men, the arm of the flesh. Adversity will wean you to a place of brokenness and dependency. And that's where he wants to bring you. He's a jealous God. He said, I want you to come to me. I want fellowship with you. I want you to talk to me. Nobody talks to him anymore. I'm going to bring you to a place of brokenness because I'm more interested in you being dependent and broken before me than having riches and having everything else that's drawn you away from me, than having a ministry. I want to be with you. You see, all power, all authority comes out of being with him. I'll tell you, you want to be in full-time ministry. This is full-time ministry when you're ministering to the Lord, no matter what situation, no matter where you are. If you don't minister that way in private, I'll tell you, you'll have nothing to say to minister this way in public. Nothing. And lastly, the adversity will wean you off yourself. You know, Captain Fantastic, I'm going to make it. I'm just that kind of, we'll make it through, kind of stuff. And God said, no, you won't. I'll bring you to a place of total brokenness. I'll tell you, the only thing God wants of my flesh is he wants it crucified. The only way God can get glory out of a man's life is through crucifixion. We do not preach about a life that gets modified. The only life that can happen is the life that dies. And he said, will you give me your body? Will you give me your life? I'll put my very self inside you and let the world see what God can do with a man or woman who's weaned off this world, who's not addicted to preaching to crowds, not addicted to ministry, not addicted to success, but will just follow me, and I'll show you the world is still looking for men and women like that who are filled with the Spirit. I said last night, revival is not when our churches are filled with men. Revival is when men and women are filled with God. That's the truth. That's the truth. Listen to Paul the Apostle. Now, who would say he was a great man? Spirit-filled. Would anybody disagree with that? Listen to his words in 2 Corinthians as he's getting older. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the trouble we experience. I mean, all this guy does is get into trouble. I can imagine him being in prison and some of the faith boys going, Paul, if you only had enough faith, God, what are you doing there? Sitting in there writing letters all day. Anyway, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability. Oh, to find a man so broken, so that we despaired life itself. Indeed, we felt we received the sentence of death. Listen to his statement. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves. And I thought, God, how much do you expect one man to take? I think he's been through enough. I think he knows not to rely on himself. It's the Apostle Paul. And God said, I'm going to take you through till you despair of your life, Paul. I'm going to wean you off this world. I'm going to wean you off yourself. And I'm thinking, but he knows you. He's powerful. He's been whipped. He's been battered. He's been bruised. How much do you expect him to take? And God said, it's none of your business. I'm molding. I'm shaping. I'm going to use this man so mightily. I'm going to bring him to his nothing and I'm everything. Paul said, the one who sows and the one who waters is nothing. It's God who gives the increase. Paul said, some for Apollos, some for Paul. Get away from that. There's no superheroes. There's just a great God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Amen. Just lastly, before we finish early, well, hopefully. Listen to what Jesus says in Philippians 1:6. Paul says, rather, being confident of this, that he who began a good work fix your eyes on me for a minute. He who began a good work. This is where Paul's resting everything on his life. Not his fasting, not his praying. Not I fasted for 40 days. I've done this, I've done that. I prayed. They're all good disciplines. But that is not what keeps you. He who started a good work will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ. Bible says Emmanuel, God is with us. And that word Emmanuel, God is with us, has took missionaries and martyrs to the worst of countries and the darkest places because they knew God is with us. Missionaries who got coffins and put their goods in them and took them over and kissed their mum and dads on the shores of the sea because they knew they would never see them again for the sake of the gospel. Because God is with us. And when we bury our loved ones, God is with us. And when our kids and grandkids are all going pear-shaped, God is with us. When the marriage is rocky, God is with us. When we've fallen and sinned, God is with us. You see, the Holy Spirit is a seal. It's an engagement ring. That's what I love about God. He's not going to take the engagement ring back. He's not going to go, right, I'm sorry. No, get us out. No, give me the ring. No, he said, I'm. You're my bride. I'll never give you a certificate of divorce. I'm committed to you through the power of my blood, through my sacrifice, through the love in my heart. I'm not taking the ring back. I'm committed to you. I shared this last night. I hope you don't mind me sharing it again, you who heard it. I remember about, if you've got children, you'll know what I mean. You know, your child's out in the garden and you think, I'll just go up the stair for 2 minutes. Everything will be good. You go up the stairs and as sure as anything, you hear a scream. And you think, you project a future, don't you? You think, I'm going to be an A&E. Oh, no. They're going to be asking me what happened. You slide down the banister, you kick open the door, you run over the car, and there's a wee child there like this. Oh, I jammed my finger, you think. But when you hear that cry, this is what you don't do. And I think a lot of people live here. You hear that cry of your child and you go, well, before I come and get you, let me see how good you've been. Let me see if you've came up to the standard. Let me see if you've fasted enough. So you feel better than everybody else. So you compare yourself to everybody else. What a state to be in. Let me see if you've been good to your mum and dad. Let me see if you missed church this year. When I hear him crying, I don't care. Because that's my son. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I know you're dust. I know you failed. And the devil wants you to fast and pray and get a better few days in so you can work your way back to God. And God says, son, daughter, you don't need to work your way back. I absolutely love you. I absolutely adore you. I'm committed to you. I'm going to get you home. I don't care how many times I'm going to get you home. Let me ask you this. When were you ever good enough? And why do you think that you need to make yourself good enough now? That's the whole reason of Calvary's cross. A battered man with a battered body. And a covenant because you and me couldn't do it. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we will comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received. For our light affliction and our troubles are achieving an eternal weight of glory. So we fix our eyes on what is, not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Jeremiah 33:3. Call on me and I will answer you. Madame Guyon said this, and then we'll pray. To be cast where he is not. Now that would be a dreadful lot. Moses is just about to go into the promised land. 40 years of wilderness. Here they are on the edge. The milk and honey is about to come. Happy days. Milk and honey. Sometimes the church preaches too much about the milk and honey. No, but Moses said about it. That's great. We're going to go into a land of abundance. It's the type of Christ. We're coming into this abundance. We're sitting at his table. We're going to feed. And this is what Moses said. Unless you go with us, I'm not going in. Because know what he was saying? Who wants meetings? Who wants milk and honey? Who wants anything if you're not there? That's what Paul could say in a prison cell, writing letters, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I am with you to the very end. Let's stand for a moment. I'm going to ask the worship team to just come back. I just want you to look at me for a moment. Don't get distracted by anything. I want to point you to the one who said, I will be with you. His name is Jesus Christ. I don't know who's going to be with me on my dying bed. I don't even know if my wife will be there. I don't know who will go first. Sometimes we talk about it. You say, oh, I hope it's me. I hope it's you. I think she said, I hope it's you first so I can... But it's a reality to us. We talk about it because we know one day it'll happen. And at our funeral, I won't be saying, and she won't be saying, he was my rock. Because if I am, it's a very dodgy place to lean on. I said, Fiona, lean on him. In this life, we have each other, but don't build your life on me. Don't lean on me. I'm not a rock. Flesh and blood, I'll fail you, but he won't. Oh, that I might know him. Who is this Christ who rescued me? Who's gone through stuff this morning in your marriage? Would you humble yourself under God and admit, God, we need you? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with a bit of that? What's wrong with a bit of humility? I mean, he got dragged almost naked to a cross for you and me. We can... And he said today about marriages, I want to strengthen them. Come to me. I don't know what happens behind closed doors. It's nobody's business, really. We all deal with our stuff. But I want to tell you, he's with you. You know, I think especially women carry a deep well in their heart, things they can't even express. But God hears your cry and your groan. He hears secret screams and things that are there. He says, I can pour in the oil and the wine. You see, all of this is about him. All of this is quite simple. I love him. He loves you. And we want them to love him too. How's that? I love him, he loves you, and we want him to love him too. There you go, there's a new t-shirt. Who's in the boat and it's stormy? You will get to the other side. Even if it sinks, you'll be holding on to a bit of wood. The cross will get you home. I honestly don't know whether to do an altar call or just say amen. So what I'll do is I think I'll just pray and let the Holy Spirit go in your heart with what I've said. Don't forget it. Advancing through adversity. That's what makes you more than a conqueror. Not the absence of your pain. Oh, who's not got pain? I just want to say this last thing. Remember Joseph? Joseph got 12 years in prison for doing nothing. Nothing. 12 years. Everybody say 12 years. That's a long time for an innocent man. You see, it's not coming through. It's how you come through. He kept a sweetheart. Some are bitter, angry, raging, and they're on the hard shoulder of life. Raging at God, raging at people. And Joseph came through. And one day, there was a key. And it opened up. And he became the prime minister. And know what he became in charge of? The storehouse. And see, when you come through with the right spirit, and a forgiving spirit, and a sweet spirit, and that's not easy, but if you can, by God's grace we will, you get the keys to the storehouse to feed other people.
Nobody's getting my keys. I want the keys to the storehouse for those who are hungry, for those who are broken. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to not forgive. And some of you might need to do that today. I'm letting go of any bitterness, any forgiveness. I want the keys to the storehouse so I can feed others. Let me pray.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.